Heavenly Father, we thank you. This new year, 2009, we are here. 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord. And it's such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord again with the people of God to worship together. Lord, we thank you because of you have all the great things you have in store for us this year. And we know, Lord, that the entrance of your word always brings light. And may that light enter our hearts this morning as we hear the word of the Lord, and may your name be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord again. And I want to welcome everybody to this first service of the new year at our praise-a-thon last Wednesday night going into the new year. You know, I gave a prophetic word from the Lord, and I'm going to preach on that this morning. The message is called Carriers of God's Glory. Carriers of God's Glory. I mean, it's like the, you know, in the Old Testament, they had the Levitical priesthood was appointed to carry and bear the ark. See, and nobody else could do it. You know, so, you know, and the ark of the Lord represented His glory, His presence, His dwelling place. You know, and the Levitical priesthood, they were the ones that were appointed to carry that ark and to, you know, bear it up and so forth like that. And if anybody else that wasn't appointed, you know, tried to do that, we saw what happened in the case of Uzzah. But that's not my subject this morning. My subject is that we are the carriers of His glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to start here at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now that simple verse reveals the original plan of God, that we were all supposed to be in the glory of God. But through sin and disobedience, we fell short. And, you know, one of the things, one of the main things that the Lord came to do was to restore that glory. Restore us back into that glory. Now, everybody knows that the Lord came, you know, to die for our sins and pay the price for, you know, to redeem us from eternal damnation to eternal salvation, you know. But there is something that a lot of people may not know, and that's a subject we are bringing this morning, is that the purpose of God, see, in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, you know, goes beyond John 3:16, but it goes into this message this morning, you know, to bring us back to that glory from where we fell short. And so I am going to read a few scriptures for us this morning just to see how it was that God had planned that we should be in this glory. And the vision that the Lord had, you know, regarding Christ coming in to bring us back to the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, for He became Him. See, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. You know, that's the Lord, you know. In bringing many sons unto glory. Now, that's the subject this morning. You know, His purpose, His vision was to bring many sons unto glory. Now, but how did He do it? Well, you know, that's going to be the second part of this message. It's going to be all in there. You know, He wanted to bring many sons to glory. Not just a few, but many. You know, and He decided that He was going to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we're going to get into that. But the vision was to bring many sons to glory. That's the vision. Now, He said in John 17 and verse 22, He said, Jesus praying to the Father just before He went to the cross, He said to the Father, I said, and the glory which Thou gavest Me from the beginning, I have given unto them. See, that they all may be one. See, even as we are one. And we know that in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, that the Lord said, my glory I will not give to another. I will not share my praise with graven images and so forth. But that was then. But this is Jesus now. We see Jesus, see, coming in, you know, and showing us how to bring us, how to get us back to the glory of God. Because he said it himself, said, I've given them that glory. See, I have given it unto them. They fell short, you know, he said, but I have given it back unto them. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus, and this is where the message this morning really is. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And he is the express image of God's person. See, that's who he is. That's absolutely who Jesus is. So, you know, one time, one of the disciples says, show us the Father, and he suffices us. And that was Philip. You can read all about it, you know, in John 14. And Jesus said, all this time that I have been with you and you still haven't known me, you know, so Jesus was the express. He that has seen me has seen the Father, the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. You know, one time he took the disciples to what we call Mount Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. And he decided to peel back and let them see some of that glory. And they said, wow. You know, they saw his glory. He was transfigured before them. And the Bible says Jesus is the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. And the Bible says that as he is in this world, so are we. You might find that in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. As the Lord is, so are we. You know, so if he is the brightness of his glory, then we ought to be the same. And Jesus himself was only the firstborn among many brethren. It's not going to be the only one. You know, if that was all that it was all about, then there would be no value to anything that the Lord did. You know, and so, but the Lord, you know, he wanted to bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. How many of you still understand that? And here's the way he did it. John 12 and 24, he said, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was talking about himself. See, and if he would, you know, have not gone to that cross, if he would have not laid down his life like he did, he would have been the only Son of God. See, he would have been alone. See, but once he went through there by the determinate foreconsul of God, he had a plan that he was going to bring forth much fruit. You know, it wasn't going to be one grain anymore, but it was going to be many. It wasn't just going to be one Son of God, but it was going to be many sons of God. He had a plan that he was going to bring many sons of God into glory, just like he came into his glory. And, you know, so that's been the plan of the ages, and the devil has contested that plan from the beginning. He contested it. He has contested it throughout all the ages. And he didn't want any part of it, you know, to happen. In fact, when the Christ was born, the devil, he had a plan to kill all the little children, you know, so he could get the Christ, you know, but he couldn't do it. You know, and every time he has tried everything, every time the Lord wanted to bring forth, you know, the sons of God, he'd want to kill it before it even started. And he's got many ways, you know, that he's done that, you know. And, over the generation of the church ages until now, you might say that the devil has almost won that, you know, battle that's been going on. Because he's found a way, you know, to suppress the children of God from getting into their glory. You know. So, but this message this morning, you know, it's taken from where we should be, I mean where we are, to really where we should be. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And this was the prophetic verse or message. This is where the message was taken from on the New Year's vigil. Arise and shine, he said in Isaiah 60. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, even though when darkness shall be upon the earth, and gross darkness as it is now upon the people, he said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Oh, and the glory, his glory, shall be seen on thee. So we are coming into the glory of the Lord. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
That's right, we are coming into the glory of the Lord. You know, and you know, but let's see how they did it in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood that was to carry the ark. You know, what was it? What was the requirement? You know, they were the only ones that could carry the ark. You know, I'm going to read for you here a little story in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you want to read the story of Uzzah that tried to help the ark when it was trying to fall down and so forth like that, he put forth his hand because the oxen on which they were carrying the ark stumbled and he tried to help it up. If you want to read what happened to him, you're going to have to read that in 1 Chronicles 13. You know, you read it about verses 9 and 10. But that's not the one I want to read this morning. He didn't have the right to do that because he wasn't one of the Levites. But he did that and, you know, he incurred the wrath of God. But the one I want to read, for those that were anointed to the office of carrying the ark, there is a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. When David wanted to bring, you know, he wanted to take the ark, you know, back to Jerusalem and so forth like that. And here's what David said to them in 1 Chronicles 15 and 2. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, because he knew that they were the ones that were appointed. For them had the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now, everything that the Lord does, you know, is, you know, that everything that he did in the Old Testament was pointing, was a type of what he was coming to do in the New Testament. So the Levitical priesthood, they had the authority and they had the commission to minister before the Lord and to carry the ark and so forth like that. Now, David said unto them in verse 12, you know, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. The requirement is sanctify yourselves. Can you say amen? In order for you to carry the ark, he said, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. You know, so sanctify yourselves. Now that's the message this morning. How are we going to bear the glory of God? Is through sanctification. You know, sanctification means separate. Touch not the unclean thing. You know, separate yourselves, you know, unto God, that you might be a vessel of honor, prepared for the glory of the Lord. Now, we ought not to settle for anything less. How many of you say amen? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, for finding fault with them, if the Levitical priesthood would have been perfect, there would have been no need. You know, but, you know, they couldn't do it. You know, that Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood, even those that were anointed to carry the ark, it still wasn't perfect. God did away with it. He had something better. And it is coming forth in our age. Hallelujah. It is the sons of God themselves that we bear the ultimate ark of God. That's the glory of God. The very glory of God. Like Jesus was. The Bible said the brightness of his glory. And that's who we are. You know. And there's another thing also. You will have to listen to the message. It's on the website. The Road to Glory that we preached about a couple of years ago. Or maybe about a year or so ago. you know, but there is another thing about that, but I'm not going to preach that this morning. In Luke chapter 24, I'm just going to read this one verse. After that, Jesus had died, and, you know, for 3 days, the disciples were all troubled because they didn't know what was going to happen, whether he was going to raise up or not, you know, and he had arisen. And two disciples in Luke 24 were on their way to a little city called Emmaus. And Jesus joined himself with them. And they were talking about the things that had happened and so forth. And they said, you know, and Jesus pretended like he didn't know what was going on. And they said, man, where are you from? I mean, didn't you know all the things that have been happening and so forth? And he said, well, what was that? You know, and they began to tell him, you know, well, you know, these things happened to Jesus and so forth like that. You know, and they were saddened, and they were worried about it, and all that, and Jesus just let them talk, and after a while, here's what he said to them, you know, in Luke chapter 24, and he tells them the following, starting at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and then to enter into his glory? See, how did Christ enter into his glory? Well, he went through a lot of sufferings. We read it in Hebrews 2 and 10. In order to make the captain of their salvation perfect, he put him through a path of sufferings that led into his glory. Now, the glory of God that we have inherited, you know, through the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus came to reveal the Father unto us, you know, he said, I have declared thy name unto thy brethren. You know, so he declared who the Father was, and he paid the price in order to redeem us back into that glory. You know, no man is greater than his master. How many of you say amen? Jesus himself said it. No man is greater than his master, you see. You know, so if he went through sufferings in order to get into that glory, I can assure you, brethren, you know, there is no shortcut. There is no way around it. You know, that's how God purifies the sons of the kingdom. He purifies them like gold. He's purified. He tries them like silver. He's tried. You know, and God, in order to bring you into that glory, first, there are two things that I want to leave with you this morning. First, you must sanctify yourselves. Just like David said to the priests, he reminded them. Now, you're getting ready to carry the ark, he said. Now, sanctify yourselves. And not only sanctify yourself, say sanctify your brethren as well. Ye and your brethren. You know, so my job, you know, every time I get on this pulpit, is to remind us that we need to sanctify ourselves and make ourselves ready for a habitation of God, the fullness of his glory through the Spirit of Christ. How many of you say amen? Amen. The fullness of his glory is coming, and we are there already. And as we go into this year, we're going deeper into that glory. And the second thing, apart from his sanctification, is that we must bear his reproach. See, because Jesus himself went through the sufferings in order to come into his glory. And we cannot do it any other way other than the way that Jesus did. Now the Bible says, now are we the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Even though, you know, we're not exactly like we should be yet. He said, even though it does not yet quite appear, we're not quite like this, but we are already, in the mind of God, we're already sons of God. You know, but we are coming into that fullness. We are coming, you know, and the Lord, he has already started to separate for himself a people that will be the express image of Christ, just like Christ was the express image of the Father. Now Jesus said, no man has seen the Father at any time, the only begotten he has declared it. You know, so what Jesus, you know, just like Jesus was, like the Bible said, as he is in this world, so are we. Just like he was, you know, so are we now. Jesus came to testify of the Father, and then he told the disciples, he said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he shall testify of me, Jesus, he said. You know, now, we have the Holy Spirit. So just like Jesus bore the glory of God, now that we have the Holy Spirit, We must bear the image of Christ. We must be in the likeness of Christ. This is the very thing that God foreknew in his mind. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He tells us that he foreknew those that he would call. He knew them. And he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his son. He already knew they would be called. And he saw it ahead. And he ordained that they would come forth in that image of Christ. God's not going to take anything less. You know, he's not looking for church-going people and all of that. And, you know, nice people. That's good, you know. But he is looking for those that will come forth in the fullness of the nature of Christ. That was his vision, to bring many sons to glory. That's what he foreknew. That's what he preordained. And that's the way we are going to be. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says that all the gifts and the ministries that God gave, he gave for one reason. That we may all come. See, he's going to be doing all these things. He's going to allow the ministries to operate. He's going to do all of these things and so forth until we all come to the unity of the faith. Oh my. Oh yes. And until we come to a perfect man. See, unto the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what's missing. See, the church doesn't know exactly, you know, who the Lord Jesus is. And they don't know what they should be like, you know, and so forth. And Jesus himself was amazed. All this time you didn't even know me, he said. You know, so as the knowledge of God, as the knowledge of the Son of God begins to be revealed in us, we will mature into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. How many of you say amen to that? And God has already started that work. You know, praise God. You know, all through the Bible, this was a great mystery that the Bible said that even angels desire to look into. But God, he hid it. You know, and the angels, they wondered. They wondered how it is going to be, you know. And the devil said, well, I'll make sure it's not going to happen, he told the Lord. And the Lord said, well, we'll see about that. You know, I'm going to bring them forth. Hallelujah. And they will be in my glory. And the devil said, not if I can have something to do about that. And the Lord said, we'll see about that. And that battle has been raging from the beginning until even now. Because the devil said, no, it won't happen. And even in Revelation 12, 5, when the sons of God, that man child was about to be born, the devil said, I have no part of it. He stood before the woman to consume the child, to devour the child as soon as it was born, but the Lord wouldn't let him do it. How many of you say amen? Praise God. That devil has lost that battle, and he will lose every time, because it was God's original vision, and no man can say to him, what doest thou? Hallelujah. He is going to bring forth, and it is happening already, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ in the sons of God. The image of Christ, that we might become, he said, unto everyone that received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. That's what he said in John 1 and verse 12. Become. There's been a process of becoming all this while. See, but we are coming to that right now. And some will mature before others, but we will all come to a perfect man. We will all come to the unity of the faith. Oh, yes. And my job, so help me God. And everyone that is called the same way, every minister, every pastor, everywhere that has heard the true voice of God, this is what we should be doing. Calling the elect to attention. See, reminding us, sir, that we should arise and shine. Because the light is come. He said, thy light is now come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let's start to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you this morning. And you are to be the carriers of that glory. You are to bear, you know, like they bore the ark, you are to be the ones that would carry the ark. And as you stand there this morning, I am going to read, while you are standing, I am going to read for you a story that happened in the book of Joshua. You know, how they carried that ark. And let's see all some of the things that the Lord began to do for them, you know, as, you know, they carried the ark. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3, "And they commanded the people, saying, When ye shall see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it," that's going to be you carrying the ark, he said, "then you shall remove from your place, and you shall go after it." So, these sons of God are supposed to play a leadership role that will make the others to follow. Paul himself said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And Joshua said unto them in verse 6, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over, you know, before the people," and so forth like that. And the Lord told him, he said, "When ye are come to the brink of the water," in verse 8, "then ye shall stand still in Jordan." Oh my. You know, Joshua, he saw Moses part the Red Sea one time. And he said, "Well, I know all about that." And so he commanded the carriers of the ark. You know, he said, "When you get to Jordan, you stand still." And read the rest of his story. Here's what happened. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come, you know, down from above, and they shall stand up as an heap." Oh my. As soon as the bearers of the ark, as soon as they stepped into Jordan. Well, see, they wanted to cross. See, they had to go over because the Lord told them to go possess the land. See, but they had to cross through Jordan, and there was no way. There was no bridge. You know, how are they going to get across? You know, and the Bible says at that time of the year, Jordan was overflowing its banks. You know, the water was everywhere. I mean, there was, you know, high tide and everything you might call it. I mean, the water was so much, and the people didn't know how to cross. But the Lord said, when the carriers of the Ark of the Testament, when they place their feet upon the water, when they stand there, let them stand still, and the glory of the Lord will part the waves. Hallelujah. Oh my, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. And it came to pass. The Bible says it came to pass as soon as the bearers of the ark, they stood, when they touched that, the, you know, the water right there, the waters piled up in a heap on one side and on the other side. And the ransom of the Lord, they went through. How many of you can say, praise the Lord? Hallelujah. That's what the carriers of God's glory, that's what they do. They make a way for the elect of God. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The carriers of the glory of God. That's what you are. Jesus, he made the way. He was the first. And when we come, every man after his, you know, in their own order and so forth, and we come in the same way, we are now standing in the gap. Oh my Jesus. And we will carry that ark. We will stand, you know, prophetically speaking, upon that Jordan. We are right there now.
Amen.
Amen. And the waves, the seas, that they will heap up on each side. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the ransom of the Lord, they will come through.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We are going to the promised land.
Amen.
We are going to the promised land.
Amen.
We are going to the promised land.
Amen.
The Bible says, when you shall see the priests, the Levites, when you see them carrying the ark, then you follow. Oh my. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I want us to pray this morning. I want you to pray for the pastor of this church. That's right. Because this year, we must cross that Jordan.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Lord told me, not only myself, but everyone that he's calling into this glory, to bear this glory, we've got to go forward and step into the water. Even when the water is still high. You see, while the water was still high, the bearers of the ark had to get in first. But once they got in, everything will subside and it will part the waves. But as long as the bearers of the ark are standing on the water's edge, the water will continue to be high. But they must take the first step and get inside the water. And then the others will follow. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Father Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, we are coming across this Jordan. Oh yes, we are coming across this Jordan. We are bearing the glory of God to this generation. Hallelujah. We are going to carry that ark, the ark of the living testimony. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. And we will go before the people of the Lord. And the people of the Lord will come. And together, we will go to the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise this morning. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we shall be the brightness of the glory of Christ. Just like Jesus was the brightness of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. He said, the glory that thou givest me from the beginning, I have given to them. Oh my, what a privilege. This was the same God that said, I will not give my glory to any. But that was then. This is now. Receive the glory of the Lord. With every hand raised up here this morning. Every hand raised up here this morning. Everybody. This morning. Raise up your hands. Everyone on their feet this morning. I'm going to ask the Lord in His mercy this morning. And the second part of this message, if the Lord allows it, we will preach next week. You don't want to miss it. I will ask the Lord now to make an abundant entrance for you into that glory. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, because you already, the Bible said, when you were lifted up, the veil of the temple was rent, making a way for the people of God. And this morning, Lord, may together, even as our feet stand, even in the water Jordan, oh, may that glory descend and let the waters part way. And let the ransom come on through. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for Jesus.